After entering all the info from the Drover incident into my database, I drifted back to the cake house and watched Slim finish loading sacks of cake into the camo Stealth. And by the way, when I speak of cake, I'm not talking about birthday cake or wedding cake or any of the other kinds of cake made with icing. Cake, in the ranchy sense of the word, is cow feed. Cubes of feed, see, that are made out of compressed cottonseed. Ours was called 39% protein cottonseed cake, and it came in 50-pound burlap sacks. We started feeding cake to the cows after the first frost, the reason being that after frost, the grass begins to lose its food value and the cows need some extra groceries to make it through the winter. Pretty impressive that a dog would know all that, isn't it? On an ordinary day in the wintertime, Slim fed 2 pounds of cake per cow. But on this particular day, with the snow and everything, he decided to kick their grub up to 3 pounds. We had 250 cows on the Hodges place. If Slim was going to feed them 3 pounds per each, that meant, let's see here, we needed, how many sacks of feed? I'll have it worked out here in just a second, running a spreadsheet on. Our hardware runs a little slow in this cold. Okay, he loaded a bunch of sacks into the back of the camo Stealth, and I really don't care how many. If you want to know the exact number, do the figuring yourself. I'm a very busy dog. Where was I? Oh yes, watching Slim load up an undisclosed number of sacks into the Soforth. Mary D. Cat was watching too, but typical of her pattern of strange behavior, she wasn't content merely to watch. She had to get into the middle of things. She hopped up into the cake house and Slim stumbled over no less than 3 times. He booted her out the door every time, but that didn't seem to faze or bother her at all. She went right inside and rubbed on his legs. Then she hopped up on a stack of cake sacks, and when Slim stopped to catch his breath, she jumped onto his neck and started rubbing his ear. Now that woke him up. I guess he thought a cobra had dropped down from the rafters. And when he felt that thing around his neck and heard that purring in his ear, he moved a little quicker than he was accustomed to moving. Ran into the door jamb is what he did and yelled. And when he saw that it was only the cat, he reached up and jerked her off his neck. You know what a cat does when you try to jerk her off your neck? She digs in with her claws. Old Slim got her peeled off his neck, but he paid a price for it. By then, Kitty had worn out her welcome, and Slim drew back and tossed her as far as he could, through the air and into the snow. I was standing nearby and watched her flight. Ears up, tail straight out, and all 4 landing gears down. She looked like an, I don't know what, a flying squirrel. A falling star, a hairy rocket-propelled something or other. But it was very exciting to watch, and have I mentioned that when cats make sudden movements like that, it gets me all stirred up? Yes, it's true, and it comes over me more or less on its own, without malice or forethought or much planning on my part. There seems to be some mechanism in a dog's mind that makes him rush to the scene of a crashed cat and start barking, and that's what I did, and pow! Sometimes that mechanism gets a dog into trouble before he knows it. I mean, I was just curious, concerned. I hadn't actually intended to. That cat wasn't inclined to ask questions or take prisoners. At the first sign of trouble, she just loaded up and blasted away with her claws. Yes, we took a few hits and sustained some damage to, well, lips, gums, cheeks, eyebrows, and the soft, leathery portion of our nose. But that was a small price to pay for all the valuable intelligence information we gathered from the experience. Yes, our file on Mary D. Cat was growing larger and larger, and each new shred of evidence added to our profile of a sick and twisted mind. This latest incident certainly raised the possibility that this deranged cat didn't enjoy being barked at in close quarters. Now that's a sick mind. I mean, what possible harm? Ah, well. Now that we knew she would strike without warning, we fed this information into data control and got a new set of guidelines.
So don't bark in her face.
I never would have thought of that, but by George, it seemed pretty good advice. Just stop barking in her face. Sure, okay. Good old data control. Slim and Alfred climbed into the camo stealth, fired up the engine, and called for us dogs to load up in the back. I went flying into the back as gracefully as a deer and took the scout position on top of the spare tire. Drover came out as far as the yard fence and stopped. I guess he saw the cat and didn't want to risk getting another face full of her claws. Not a bad idea, actually. My nose was still throbbing. We had to pick him up at the front of the house. But the very second we pulled away from the cake house, here came Mary D. Cat.
Wait! Don't leave me! Take me away from here! Don't go! Cheese! I want some cheese! A friendly face!
And get this. She came bounding up to the truck, leaped up on the running board, clawed her way up to the door and side mirror, and ended up inside the cab on Slim's lap. He gave her the old heave-ho, and away we went. My ears flew up at this, which kicked in the voice of data control.
So don't bark in her face.
Well, she was on the ground and well out of range, so I overrode DC and barked with all my heart and soul. I love doing that. It's one of the pure joys of being a dog. It's where we discover the true meaning of dogness. We picked up Mr. Scared of a Wimpy Little Cat in front of the house and headed for the west pasture. Miss Kitty followed us for a ways, yowling.
Meow! Meow! Don't leave me! Take me away from here! Cheese! A friendly face!
I moved to the back of the truck and gave her my final words. It serves you right for being such a hateful little snot. Go catch a mouse. That's what you're here for. And always remember that Hank the cow dog does not take trash off the cats. Even Drover got in on the deal.
Yeah, and me too. And now I'll bet you're sorry for being so mean.
Well said, Drover.
And I hope you get fleas and ringworms.
Oh, good shot, son. Good shot. You really stuck her with that one. Grinning and barking and sticking out our tongues at her, we watched until she had disappeared in the distance. Well, Drover, we have notched up another victory over a cat.
Yeah, I guess so. But she sure slapped the fire out of me.
Don't worry about it, son. The important thing here is that once again, superior dog intelligence has triumphed over the forces of kittydom. He rubbed a bloody spot on his nose, and I, well, rubbed a bloody spot on my nose, caused, no doubt, by the dangerous cuckleburrs. Yes, of course. That had to be it.
I wonder what got her so worked up. All I did was ask her about sausage patties, and she didn't even answer.
I can't imagine, Drover.
She just hauled off and slugged me.
I'll swan.
I guess she doesn't like sausage.
Don't try to find intelligent reasons for the behavior of a cat, Drover. They're all nutty, and that one is even nuttier than most. Just forget about it. It's water under the dam. We turned our attention to more important matters, such as the feed run and the snowstorm, and making it up that long, steep hill west of the house. The road was slick and covered with snow, don't you see? And making it up that long, steep hill would have been no easy deal, even in dry weather. But that's why we had switched over to the camo stealth, right? Up front, Slim and little Alfred were having a good time. Slim threw the truck into four-wheel drive and first gear, and we hit the hill with a good head of steam. And let me tell you, fellers, the old camo stealth just ate that hill. The engine roared and threw mud up with all four wheels, and above it all, I could hear little Alfred making truck sounds of his own. I was up in the scout position again, checking out the country ahead and letting the wind blow my ears around. Say, this was fun. What more could a ranch dog ask of life? This was true cow dog happiness. It was then that I caught sight of two brown shadows that darted across the road in front of us. Could they be? Yes, they were coyotes. Perhaps two brothers I had known in bygone days? They stopped in some bushes on the left side of the road, and as we roared past them, I got a good look at their faces. And yes, it was Rip and Snort. Well, I was feeling rather expansive and full of myself, you might say, and I being motorized and they being afoot. And perhaps I said a few things that would have been better left unsaid. You know how it is when you pass some guys walking. Sometimes you just can't resist the temptation to mouth off. And I did. Mouth off, that is, not resist temptation. Hey, you guys need a ride? Ha ha! Call a taxi. Too bad you don't have a camo stealth army truck to ride around in. I stuck my tongue out at him. There, take that. And furthermore, your mama wears gunny sack underpants. Yes, perhaps it was a little childish, but it was also fun. And there's more to this life than work and worry. A guy has to have a little fun now and then, even if he's head of ranch security. There was only one little problem with this interlude of fun. At that very moment, Slim made a hard left turn and something very bad happened.